more than bananas, how the Christian faith works for me and the whole universe. Episode 9, Jeremiah's Tale. The prophet Jeremiah was a figure in Jewish history as real as others from antiquity, such as Cicero or Caesar. He had his own book, more than 50 chapters long in the Bible, and a revered status among prophets. He plied his prophetic trade at a time when Israel was reduced to a rump state based around Jerusalem and its temple. Empires had come and gone, but the temple ministry had endured for hundreds of years, despite several near disasters. It seemed like a symbol of God's permanent commitment to the Jewish people. Tradition, history, culture, and the record of previous generations of prophets all agreed. Jeremiah's message was, 1. Your temple worship is mostly a sham, ritual rather than heart, and you don't care that society is falling apart around you. You're slaughtering the cattle in the required fashion, but there's no justice in your land, and you're greedy, superstitious, and cruel. 2. A new set of invaders is coming, Babylonians, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they will invade Jerusalem and burn down your temple. 3. This is a sign that God is fed up with you. 4. Don't fight Nebuchadnezzar. Surrender to him. Let him carry you into exile. Build new lives there. Expect to stay for a long time, far from home. 5. Turn back to God. Jeremiah said much the same things to the nations around him. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. You will lose the war. This is happening because of your pride, cruelty, and greed. Unsurprisingly, he was not a popular figure. He was beaten, put in stocks, imprisoned, and once dropped into an empty water tank and left to die. When this happened, he complained bitterly to God and ranted against his oppressors. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. He was not always totally content in his job. Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I've neither lent nor borrowed, yet everyone curses me. He had issues with his employer. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Yet he kept to the same message for all his long life. Once the king called him from prison and asked, "Is there any word from the Lord?" "Yes," said Jeremiah, "you will be handed over to the king of Babylon." The same king burnt up the scroll on which Jeremiah had written his words, a slice at a time, tossing them into a brazier. Jeremiah's response was to dictate a second edition, and, good author that he was, add some all-new material. He was endlessly loyal to a people he endlessly insisted were being disloyal to God. Everything came true as Jeremiah foretold. The Babylonians torched the temple, and the temple hardware vanished from history, thus spawning a whole literature in the late 20th century about the missing Ark of the Covenant. Pleasingly, for those who like poetic justice at least, the last king was made to watch his sons being executed, then had his eyes gouged out, and then was exiled to Babylon. The last we hear of Jeremiah is of him telling the few people left in the land that they should stay there under Babylonian rule, and then sticking with them as, against his advice, they fled to Egypt. Such was Jeremiah's life and message. He received messages from God, backed them with his life, saw them come true. This was a powerful coming together of personal integrity, prophetic prediction, and prophetic fulfillment. But God did more with Jeremiah even than that. Before Jeremiah, all the trend in Jewish religion was to centralize worship in Jerusalem. After Jeremiah, the Jewish people had divine permission to settle anywhere, to use a synagogue instead of the temple, and to re-emphasize that pleasing God is about truth, the heart, and the community, rather than the ritual burning of sheep suet. Thanks to Jeremiah, Judaism could spread around the world. Those of us who are Christians owe our debts to him too. The early church patterned itself
on these same synagogues, and often arose through splitting them. Jeremiah, in other words, in his stubborn and lonely ministry in Jerusalem, uprooted an earlier phase of Judaism and planted another one, which then came to serve as a foundation for the rise of Christianity. In a sense, he helped make Judaism ready for the coming of Christ. His life of integrity, fused with his prophetic gift, was caught up into God's longer purposes for the Jewish people, and through them, for the whole human species. Now that is what I call a prophet, a truthful person whose words came true, whose story became part of the larger story of creation, fall, rescue, and redemption. In the cacophony of voices claiming to speak for God, we have in the end ourselves to decide which voices to choose, if any. That might mean which holy books to choose, if any. The reason I personally love the Bible so much is that it aggregates so many lives and voices across history and then enfolds them into one dizzying perspective that is actually worthy of God himself, a story that gathers every human and the entire universe into one coherent account. It does so through the integrity of its cast of thousands, as through the centuries they met God and lived and failed and struggled and died. I know of nothing like it. And then it invites me to join the story.